Where's Curtis and Gary at?
Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. Make it do what it do, people.
I went on the violin to come in. That was crazy, right? I hear everything. That was crazy.
Man, with the Drake and the violin, that was sick, bro.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. We having some fun. You know, again,
yes, sir.
We got it made, people.
Yes,
sir. Good, man. Yeah, I'm about to put that. We're gonna have to make that work. So you have to throw it in the rotation for sure. So there's only so many clips we can hold for Blog Talk, but we're gonna make it do what. Well, we do. That's why we like to get this party started.
We
got to
be thankful for where we are. We're blessed, people.
We are.
Yes, sir.
We got to meet.
Again, welcome again to Talking Sports with the 12th, and we're doing a special Wednesday night edition of the show. The month of June is flying by, gentlemen. It seems like it kind of went by with a flurry. But
it's gone.
Yeah, man. let's talk about some things, man. We got to get into a lot of
NBA. It's like
the
home runs on my Yankees hitting. They gone.
Oh,
they're not the number one in the month, though. 50 has the Atlanta Braves the tops in the month, so I'm just going to throw that out there, too. So it's all good, man. So we are leading that category, if you will. But without further ado, let's get this party started, officially talking sports with the 12th man. Kick it out to my man, JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, man, I'm good. Like Rob said, I'm blessed in here hanging out with my girls and chilling out, but not about me. If y'all hadn't checked out that video with Dre and Homegirl on that violin, y'all need to do it. That was sick, bro. That was nice. I was like, uh-oh, look at him out there flossing.
Oh, man. I appreciate you, man. I wasn't trying to, like, be about me, but I'll take that, man. So, yeah, we actually do what's called in Midtown, it's called Groove in the Grove, man. So we're going to be back out there actually on Friday the 16th of August. If you want to come hang out. Midtown, that's for you too, JQ. It's pretty cool, man. They just kind of chill out, have some drinks, have something to eat, man. It's really cool, man. So we're out there just kind of vibing, man. So again, she's talented. She let me do my thing, and it's kind of a beautiful collaboration. So yeah, man.
It was nice.
It was pretty dope. We had a lot of people coming to talk to us afterwards, man. So if I'm on Jay Leno, or not Jay Leno, dang, I'm taking it back. If I'm on Jimmy Fallon one day, y'all let me know, man, because that's gonna be it's gonna be fun, man. So one day, who's going for?
What's up?
How you feeling this evening, bro?
Man, I've got it made. National Fried Chicken Day, baby. Had to get some chicken in me today.
Here we go.
On, man. Don't put that out there.
For real.
Come on, bro. Not National Fried Chicken Day. Come on, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Is that for real? Is that really today? Was that today?
That's no joke.
Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't go down with your specialty wings, Dre.
I'm vegan now, by the way. I've gone vegan, but it's all good. So just throwing that out there, by the way.
Yeah,
is that a joke?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm vegan now, so yeah. 100%.
So
that's probably why it kind of flew on the radar for me, but it's all good. We'll talk about it later, man. It's just a good choice, man. But it's been fun, man. But anyway. Curtis and Gary, stay tuned. Oh, I think Curtis and Gary dropped off, but I guess they're joining back in a quick second. That's crazy. They dropped for some reason. Hopefully they'll call back in. There it is. I don't know what just happened. Oh, man. Curtis and Gary, hope you guys are back on. I don't know what happened with that line dropping. If you guys just
Curtis is back on. I mean, everybody's happy, and I'm glad everybody's happy, and I'm glad everybody's doing good. I got sad news. It's going to only be Curtis tonight because Gary's mom is in a bad way. She's in the hospital, and she's fighting for her life. We're going to hope she doesn't lose.
Right.
I mean, but we've been doing this routine for the last 5 months, and she's been able to come out. And we're hoping that she comes out again.
Yeah.
But that's what,
absolutely.
That's where we're at.
Our prayers are definitely with
and,
you, Gary.
Yeah, the prayers, please, for Gary. I just got a couple of funny things that are sports related that I'm going to throw by this that I found funny that I'm going to throw by our cast today. And hopefully they're lighthearted and fun. But one of the things I want to get you guys' input on is we traded E.T., Evan Turner, for this guy named Bazemore, which I haven't seen. But he looks like a bigger, stronger. And he came in the press conference today here in Portland, and he said he can guard Iguodala. He can guard all the big, strong guys in the league. He says he can do that for Portland. He can take on
the
big, strong guys out here in the West.
That's the way he got traded.
Yeah, because he's crazy.
You know what?
And somehow the Hawks think Evan Turner can be a point guard.
I'm blown away by that.
He played basketball for Portland. I mean, no, seriously, that's what he played for a lot of times. And he was actually the main guy that helped win the series versus Utah, man. So he played and I'm sure you can get some feedback.
He can't even dribble the ball three quarters of the court.
Curtis, I'd love to get your feedback here, as well as, you know, not just from people that have just kind of speculated, people that actually watched the game. And this is from, you know, I'm big on Peachtree Hoops and what's happening, too, because, again, it does sound a little crazy from everything. But that's kind of the reports, and even Portland fans have actually said the same thing, that he was able to defend against Paul Millsap and kind of help turn the series against Utah. So, again, we're not asking him to sit here and be like Trey, but just kind of like hold down the, you know, kind of the backup situation and, you know, just have another ball handler out there too. So he can guard a lot of different positions. So, again, I think it's a good move. But that, I know at first I was kind of joking with you guys, but I'm looking at the pressure and everything. These are from Portland fans too. They're actually saying, yes, that's what he did. I mean, again, he kind of lost favor with the Terry Stotts or kind of the rotation, so he kind of felt like he was disinterested with a lot of things. But it's a good fresh start for him, and he even played it in Philadelphia, if you will. My headset. He did it in Philadelphia as well too. But it's all good. Really quickly, Curtis, to let you know, Bazemore. He's a good dude, man. He's a great locker room dude, and I do think in the spectrum that he's a great guy, man. And I do think that he's better than Turner, obviously, from this perspective. But for what we needed from the situation, I think it's kind of a win-win for both squads. You get traded to a contender with Portland. He fits a need. He can definitely, you know, I don't know if he can guard everyone like he's talking about, but I do think it's a good move. So that's my little two cents of that particular situation. So go ahead. On you.
Yeah. We'll see. One of the things that's always too bad about Portland, they're never in a running for one of the A-plus, super max, superstar guys to come here to Portland. So, you know, we always have to do best with B guys, C guys that are willing to come here. And, but we were in the Western Conference Finals, but we do, I'd say Golden State over the last 4 to 5 years have been kryptonite. So it's like if we're Superman with the Portland Trailblazers, Golden State is our kryptonite. They just destroy us, they whatever their situation is. And they've been able to sweep us 3 times in the last 4 years. And it's just ridiculous, no matter how good we seem to look until we get there with Golden State.
He may get a shot this year.
But if Bazemore can help us do that, that would, you know, take away some of that kryptonite that Golden State has, it's gonna be that's gonna be happy days.
It's Houston if they can just stop fighting with each other.
Oh man, infighting is always the best thing too, man. I love it.
Well, Robbie, next year might be the year to get Golden State if you want to get them.
Oh, yes, sir.
It is. Yep, it's the whole NBA. Speaking of a lot of things happening for some reason about the West Coast, and Cantor talking about Zion Williamson, he's overhyped. Somebody said he feels he's like Julius Randle with hops. Rob, what do you think about that assessment, if you will?
Well,
or that comment, if you will.
I will say this, and I'll give JQ credit on this one. You know, coming out of high school, I didn't know how Zion Williamson's game was going to translate to the next level. And, you know, because of his height, because of his weight, but he made a tremendous transition from high school to college. And I personally thought going from high school to college, R.J. Barrett was a better prospect. And that's not to say that R.J. Barrett is not a great prospect. I just thought that he was further along than Zion coming out of high school. But obviously, I was proven to be wrong based on what I saw in college. And I think that Zion's athleticism is going to get him by in the NBA too. Do I think he has some areas in his game that he has improved on? Yes. He's improved his outside shooting. But I would like for his release to be still a little bit better, you know, in that area. But his athleticism in an open court and his strength and athleticism in the paint is going to get him by at the next level too. But I know Enes Kanter made those comments, but I don't know if y'all saw Julius Randle's response.
Did.
Julius Randle said,
yeah.
I scored 45 points on you.
Right.
So
that was awesome.
If Zion Williams were hops, there's going to be anything better than that, then Zion may put 50-something points on him. Getting back to it, like I said, I worried about Zion's transition from high school to college, and obviously we all saw how that turned out to be. I don't have those same worries about Zion translating from college to the NBA. I really don't. Would I like to see him getting just a tad bit better shape? Absolutely. And I know we have those joking pictures out there where, you know, Zion Williamson, that New Orleans food, he's going to blow up. But I would like for him to get a tad bit better shape. But I think his athleticism and his strength is going to get him by even at that 6'7 height. And I do believe he definitely has the potential to be a superstar. So I think it's one of those kind of situations where Enes Kanter is just kind of hating. And like I said, Julius Randle just went off of 45 on him this past season.
And the thing about it is, you know, we talk about Enes Kanter and his story, and he's got a real backstory, and we talked about it a couple of times here on the show, so I won't go back into it. But this is where he starts to lose people when they want to kind of delve into that story and be on his side, because he goes at LeBron, he goes to KD, now he's going to Zion. Zion hasn't even played, and you go to Julius Randle, who dropped 45 on you. Like, dude, you got to remember he dropped 45 on you. Like, if a dude drops 45 on you, you can't be out here talking bad about him, like comparing him to somebody that's in there overhyped because they're you with a, you know, with a little bit better vertical leaping ability. That's crazy talk. But getting back to Zion, and I thank you for that, Rob. I told you when I saw those tapes and what he was doing, I was like, that dude is just – he's going to bring electricity to an arena when he comes to play. And early on, I think he can get by on his athleticism, like you talked about. He's going to have to stay in the gym in the summer and do that Michael Jordan thing. When you work on something every summer, you come back and you have it mastered, and you put that as your part of your game. He's definitely going to have to help his conditioning. He's definitely going to have to be able to be more of a stretch four, because that's where he's going to probably play. He's too big to play a three, and I don't think he's too tall to play the five. So he's going to be a stronger, you know, more athletic version of Paul Millsap, really. But Paul Millsap has mastered the art of being able to get outside that three-point line and knock down that jumper, especially from the corner. He's going to have to get some of that more into his game. But I'm not expecting that from him out the gate. I think he can get by and do enough just to, you know, have what New Orleans has gone through with Anthony Davis and Chris Paul before then, to come in there. And if he's ready to play for New Orleans and he embraces it and he gets these young pieces from L.A. to join him, I told you, they're going to be one of those teams you want to watch on the NBA League Pass. He can just breathe electricity into that arena down there in New Orleans. And I think, you know, Rob can attest to it. The fans will love it. I think he has a really big opportunity to go to that city with that, have them fall in love with him and vice versa, and just kind of give them a joke for that franchise. So I think Enes is just, again, I feel like he feels the need to go at, you know, top players. Like, I don't know if to keep himself relevant or show that he ain't a punk, or whatever it is. So that's just, I think, his business kind of shit talking style, for lack of a better term. But I think that, you know, Zion is going to be for real. I mean, I don't know if he's going to, LeBron comparisons is just too much right now. But I think he's going to do a lot for New Orleans just to give them, you know, a clean slate and a breath of fresh air to blow through that building, that organization.
What I wonder, and what I kind of see, I'm hoping he's a better version, and I hope he is as good as Charles Barkley was. Charles Barkley came out of Auburn as the round mound, the rebound, and he was a, you know, I think Charles is shorter, but they're, and probably Charles might have been a little bit heavier. So
now when he first
I would
out,
like, and Charles, I seen Charles do something amazing, and I was sitting right there when he was with the Phoenix Suns with Thunder Dan Marley.
Yes.
There was
KJ.
Like 3 seconds on the clock. Portland was up by 2 points. They fouled Dan Marley. Dan Marley comes up to the three throw line, hits the first one, and I think, you know, I'm maybe stretching it, but I think I saw a wink and a nod. The second shot, he hit the front of the rim, and somehow Charles looked like a submarine, dove between everybody's legs, scraped up the basketball, flipped it up, it went in, and they ran out of the stadium. And everybody in the stands and everybody on the court was standing there with their mouths open. You know, and I'll never forget, and that was one of the best series I ever saw when Barkley was with those Phoenix Suns and they played Jordan and those Bulls. Matter of fact, wasn't that one of the longest games in history? They went 5 overtimes or something? In one of those games in that series, you know, they were balling, and Charles was balling, but the Jordan them was just that damn good, and for some reason I'm looking at the kid, and I'm just wondering, and I'm just seeing, and if he knows anything about Charles Barkley, if he can take that path and perfect it more, you got a superstar. And Charles was a superstar. He never got a ring, but he was a superstar.
Yeah.
Yep. So I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
one thing, you know, I will say it seems as though one thing I will say about Zion, it seems as though he comes from a good family. And so hopefully that's going to help him too, as far as translating and translating to the NBA and keep him more level-headed and humble and focused.
Keep him off Bourbon
Love
Street.
It. That's right. And nothing gives me more joy than seeing Robert Ford in North Carolina.
Did y'all get a Drew Brees signed jersey, the Drew Brees signed jersey gave Zion?
Yeah, I did see that. That was pretty cool on Drew's part.
Yeah. Passing the torch
to you. Passing the torch. Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Give him a. All right, let's move on here. Again, like another gives me more joy than to have Rob go for a Duke guy, man. So this makes me so much love, man. So I'm excited to hear that, man. So
I gotta look at it like he's a Pelican now. Then we got Trajan Langdon in the front office now too. So I guess we just full of Dukies now.
Yes, you are.
There it is.
Going hard.
There it is. Go hard, all blue. Hey, Kevin Durant, I'll cut up the contract for the Warriors. We pretty much had a feeling this was going to happen, so I don't think that's that big of a deal from the perspective. But it just kind of like – I mean, it's a big deal, but I don't think it's like – I think we talked about it last week, obviously talked about some 50-50 options as far as this. You know, obviously this gives Golden State a couple of flexibility to say, all right, again, you can kind of sign that max deal again a little later on with Clay, or they're going to kind of get equal or something. Something can be worked out too. So, again – it does have some question marks for a couple things. I mean, again, no one really knows what's going to happen. But if you're it's Kevin Durant, if you're Klay Thompson, you're kind of looking at the scope of the NBA, what's happening where you are. You got to count that into your decision as far as the team, the city, everything before you make the decision to decide to move on to. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. So if you want to comment on that, that's 100% on you guys. So go ahead, JQ.
Well, I'm still somewhat shocked because if you notice, this is basically a gray shirt or a red shirt year, however you want to, you know, whatever nomenclature you want to use to describe it, and you have $31 million sitting on the table. I was a little surprised that he just didn't opt in and basically have them rehab. So that, to me, that's an indictment on that Golden State training staff and maybe some mistrust. And they said all the right things after it happened. But when you feel like you're turning down $31 million, and, I mean, he's Kevin Durant, okay? He's still going to get his money, whether he takes that $31 and opted in and then sign another contract, or, you know, maybe he's planning to just go ahead and do the five-year, you know, Supermax now, and then they used it as a sign and trade, which I've also heard. That could be a possibility. But I was a tad bit surprised by it. But if that, given what I've seen and all the rumblings that, you know, that he and Kyrie have met, you know, a couple of times this year already about teaming up, it makes me feel like he's on the move. And the more that he goes on the move, I think the more you see Klay stay in Golden State. I think it's something really real to the fact that he was, as good as he is, he was going to always be the third banana between, you know, KD, Steph, and himself. So if KD moves on, you know, you say, oh, my God, for Golden State. But I think another piece of that is I think that gives him a greater chance to re-sign Klay. And now, mind you, you basically don't get him back until – if you get him back at all next year, you're not getting him back till late in the season, later than you got DeMarcus Cousins back. But it may also open up the doors to signing DeMarcus Cousins back for a little bit more money. So there may be a small silver lining, and I know you don't ever want to lose KD, so I don't want anybody listening to it to think that, oh, if I get DeMarcus and Klay back, I feel like I'm okay with losing KD, because you're not. But – if KD decides to move on and you free up that money and you can do that, or maybe potentially earmark some of that for Draymond because you got to pay him after next year, it may end up working out for Golden State, you know, 2-3 more years down the line to kind of keep this dynasty moving. But I was a little surprised to see KD decline at given his current injury situation. And, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I feel like, you know, if it's not the Knicks, it's going to be the Nets. For whatever reason, that New York appeal is drawn to him, and I think that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised that he opted out, to be honest. I know we talked about this a little bit last week. And, you know, from all indications, it looked like he and Kyrie may be teaming up to go to Brooklyn, play with the Brooklyn Nets. But I'm not surprised. If his agents are very confident that their team's out there willing to give him a 4 or 5 year deal, you take that guarantee money, which is going to turn out to be more than $31 million of 1 year. And so I think it's a pretty smart business decision on Kevin Durant if his agency is confident that he's going to get a four to five year deal, which is going to be $150 to $200 million guaranteed versus $31 million guaranteed. And so I'm not surprised that he opted out. And like I said, it looks like all indications are that he and Kyrie are looking to team up. And my guess at this point is probably going to be Brooklyn and not the Knicks.
Yeah, not surprised. I also heard something today on talk radio that he sold his Malibu beachfront property in Malibu, California. So it's looking like he's taking out all of his ties that he had here in the West and gonna put all those chips on the East. There's another way of looking at this, too. If all these kids come out West, and it looks like the West is going to get more and more superstars, him and Kyrie and Kawhi and what they got in Philadelphia, the chances of is greater coming out of the East for all these players, actually, and especially for Durant when he comes back around and he's in the later stages of his career, getting two finals out of the East is probably greater than if he would have stayed here on the West. So that might be a motivation. It's hard to tell what exactly was his motivation for doing that. Because a lot of people believe that Golden State was that super organization and that super place to be, progressive San Francisco, high-tech San Francisco, high-dollar value San Francisco. But KD, he saw something else, and he's seeing something else. And, you know, I only want the best for KD. Until he gets back, you know, LeBron, it's going to be the LeBron show next year. And if he can get totally healthy, maybe he can compete with LeBron of being the best player in the league again. But, you know, he has to get healthy. And so, yeah, but we're going to have to hold our breath, and we're probably going to have to go through a whole basketball season before we see KD again, no matter where he lands.
I agree. Yeah, good call. Again, he may have been trying to let the Warriors get some flexibility to have them. Nobody knows to sign people for this year. I mean, don't exasperate, you know, Steph. Obviously, this is not going to be the year for the Warriors. But, you know, again, so we have all these speculation right now. So it goes down, we don't really know. Jakey get some.
And the Warriors do have the capability of offering them more than anybody, too. That five-year deal, an extra $50 million. So, I mean, they still have the, you know, that says a lot. So we'll see, you know, if he turns down that, yeah, obviously there's something going on behind the scenes with him and the Warriors.
True.
Well, and think about it is I read a story that they also were saying, hey, if you opt out and sign the Supermax, then we still may sign a trading and do right by you since you came back for us and got hurt. So that, and then also, wink, wink, it also protects them that if you do that and you sign a trading, at least you get something for Kevin Durant. And the team gets him as saying, okay, we know we get that extra year, so we're basically getting the 4 years we were going to get anyway, right? Because if you had a sign with us, we were missing the first year because you was hurt, so we're really going to get a three-year deal. So if we do a sign and trade with you, we essentially get the four-year deal that we would have gotten if you gotten that hurt, because you can only do the four-year deal with the Warriors, like Rob just said, can offer them the five-year for more money. But then there's another piece to where Iguodala came out and said last year that the Warriors said that he had like a leg contusion and he actually had a fracture. So I wonder if there's some things going on with those players on the team and that training staff saying, you know what, they're either misrepresenting it or they aren't diagnosing correctly or a combination of the two, if that kind of feeds into it. So I've been kind of reading some things about where Kevin Durant is not super happy with the Warriors right now, but they came out and they seem to be simpatico. You know, you had old boy get out there and start crying after they lost and this, that, and the other.
Oh.
But, you know, like we said before, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe he's upset with them and that could play a piece into it as well.
You got to keep in mind, too, teams that's considering signing him at that five-year deal or signing trade, he's going to be 35 years old at that five-year mark.
Yep. Good point.
Wow. All right, let's talk really quickly. Hold that thought, if you will, Curtis. We're going to move on to the next topic. We're going to talk about D'Angelo Russell and LeBron. I'm still kind of shocked that this is even an option. And then JQ, you know, I do want you to talk a little bit more about if they can win a championship, excuse me, by adding a D'Angelo Russell. Good luck on that. And your boy Carmelo's coming too. So bring all the pain.
Oh, gosh. God, my God. The Carmelo thing is so ridiculous to me, only because that's LeBron's fan. And we talked about him being done for at least 2 years now. I just don't even understand the allure the teams have with this version of Carmelo Anthony. At one point, yes, but this point, no. I don't want any piece of
that. Probably been done longer than that.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice. The thing with D'Angelo
Russell.
Trade
one heading, JQ, real quick. You trade one heading, get another one, right? You get rid of LeVar and your boy, and you get another one.
Exactly. Somebody that still thinks he's supposed to have, you know, 25 to 30 touches. It's insane. But the D'Angelo Russell thing, I'm more looking at from D'Angelo Russell of, you talked about Magic saying he needed a floor general that would command respect and set and the other, and that's why he traded you and drafted Lonzo Ball. He's still going to be – he's still Mr. Laker. Magic's going to be around. You saw him talking about him the other day at the award show. I just don't understand from D'Angelo Russell's point of view in terms of what happened to you with that organization, why would you necessarily want to go back? And two, you're talking about from the Lakers, you got $23 million, I think, left. D'Angelo Russell just had a ridiculous year. He can get a pretty good contract. So even if you got him for only 19 or 20, you're leaving yourself for $3 million for the rest of the roster. Or if he's saying – you said I'm going to give you a lower number in this first year, and then, you know, after we work some contract stuff out, the number will go bigger in years 2, 3, and 4 in the deal that you could probably entice it with more of a backloaded contract. Because I just don't know how the numbers work for D'Angelo Russell. I think he might get more than $23 million per year on the open market. And if you give that to one player, what do you do with the rest of the team? They weren't able to really buy a whole lot of second-round picks. They got one. So now you got just the guys you didn't trade. The kid they got, I forget his name right now. He's supposed to be high on them, but we'll see. And then you got LeBron and AD and D'Angelo. That's not enough to win a championship, in my opinion. So unless he comes down or his market gets really cool to where it's much cooler than I think it is right now, I think that's the only way you can sign him and still put some reinforcements around him. You got to have some guys on the bench to come off and give those guys a blow. LeBron is not getting any younger. Anthony Davis, you definitely have to watch his minutes because he's been injury-prone in his career as well. He's a fantastic player, but he's been injury-prone. So you can't say, okay, I'm going to load this injury-prone dude up with all these minutes because I don't have any money to fill out my roster where I can't take him off the court and be competitive. So unless they find a way to convince Russell to come back for less than market value or his market cools and they're able to get him for a little bit of a discount and get some pieces around him, I would say no to winning the championship with him, not because he's not a good player. I think he'd be a good third fiddle. But the way they execute that Anthony Davis deal and not getting, you know, delaying the trade to be official to later so they could have, I think, it was $6 or $7 more million on the books to be able to spend, I just don't know how you do that.
Another case of Rob Pelinka doesn't know what he's doing in Los Angeles. Why he's the general manager, and he screwed that trade up with the, from a salary cap standpoint. But I don't think it'll work from a. I don't think that it'll work on a court. I think D'Angelo Russell showed you this past season that he's more effective with the ball in his hand. LeBron James is more effective with the ball in his hand, and I don't think that's going to work on a court for those two guys. And then you got a guy like Anthony Davis. You got to feed him the rock as well. And I actually think what the Lakers need, if they're going to be successful, and I don't like the Lakers, everybody knows that. But with LeBron and AD, I think they need some guys that can defend and that can hit three-pointers. That's what they need on that team. They need a spacing. They need to spread the floor out of guys that can defend on the wing and guys that can shoot on the wing. They need like DeAndre Hunters, the Bruce Bowen type players, in order for them to be successful. Because those two guys are going to be draw double teams on a regular basis. Like I said, D'Angelo Russell is going to be a guy that's going to have the ball in his hands just like LeBron does. I don't foresee them being able to coexist on the floor at the same time unless Russell would be the kind of player that wouldn't mind coming off the bench. And I just don't see that happening.
It worked with Kyrie. Said the same thing about Kyrie.
But Kyrie showed you with Cleveland that he didn't mind, well, at least at that time he didn't. LeBron was still a point guard on that team, or a point forward, I should say. You know, Kyrie was more of a, almost like a two guard with Cleveland. He was defending point guards, but he wasn't operating offense like a point guard very often. He played off the ball quite a bit. I haven't seen D'Angelo Russell. I haven't seen him having that capability just yet. So I just wonder if they can coexist on the floor unless Russell wouldn't mind coming off the bench.
Well, the reason why I make that comparison is that that's what they said about that. That's what they said about Paul and Harden. It would never work, and they haven't won a title. But, I mean, they made it pretty far in the Western Conference Finals with two guys they said both had to have the ball a lot, and there's only one ball. How will that work? I think if you do that, and if you're D'Angelo Russell and you go with those two guys, you find a way to make it work. Because I think the piece of it that happens that we're so used to LeBron in that mode that we've seen him being super ball dominant and having to have it, that dude is starting to slow down a little bit. And he may welcome somebody else that can handle the ball to where he can float and rest a little bit and, you know, and come in off of, you know, slashing and pick and rolls off of the weak side. So you may have to tweak your offense, and we have to tweak our narrative of what we think who LeBron James is when he comes back this year. Because he may welcome that. You might be right that it may not work, but he may look at himself and say, man, I need me a young dude to be able to come out here and control some of the flow so I don't burn myself out over these 82 games. So I'm not necessarily as worried about it coexisting because I think LeBron's smart enough to know that he needs somebody else that can control the rock and give him some blow. But you could be right. But this version of LeBron we're getting back, I don't think it's the one that we're so accustomed to seeing, having to have the ball and just dribbling it into the ground.
And I'm also hearing some funny things. L.A. is trying not to be Cleveland West, but they're looking at Cal Culver. Cal Culver and JR. They're looking at JR.
No, Lord, no.
I can't believe that LeBron would even sign off on J.R. Smith after what he did in game one of the finals last year.
What are you doing? And to that point, you know, if it wasn't for that bonehead move he did, I actually thought Cleveland could have won two games in that series. But after that, that's the most bonehead thing I've ever seen a pro basketball player do. You know, I teach my young kids.
That was worse
you
than
the
Chris Webber timeout in college for Final Four.
Oh, I don't know. It's close.
You get the rebound. You go.
I can see a guy not knowing if you have timeout, but not knowing what the score is in the game? Come on, JQ.
You
didn't even know what the score was.
But my thing, and like I said, I teach kids. You get the rebound. You go back up. You go back up. You
right
go
underneath the goal.
You don't take the ball out.
Oh, my God.
You know,
that's worse than
the
Chris Webber timeout, in my opinion.
That was,
you know why?
If they could have won that game, that would have gave
Chris
them some momentum.
Chris Webber was a college dude. He's a pro.
That's the thing.
Somebody you should never have to coach. To go back up with the basketball for rebound, you know, I don't know if I've seen anything that boneheaded ever. I don't know how LeBron held back from putting his foot right there on the court, putting his foot right in. Oh, my God. I might not have been able to do it.
But there are reports out there, as Curtis said, that the Lakers may be considering J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver.
I'll take Kyle Korver. But J.R. Smith's defense and three-point shooting was horrible in that year and in that series against Golden State. If you're going to bring him in, you look at his numbers. Even outside that boneheaded play, his shooting was abysmal from the three-point line. I was like, come on, man. Y'all got to stop giving this to J.R. Smith. He is a brick waiting to happen. Why would you come back two or 3 years later?
Yeah,
hell no. That's stupid.
Yeah, he would build a subdivision with the brick.
But this speaks to the disarray and Rob Pelinka and what the Lakers are at. They're after this trade, they're groveling down in the garbage. They're groveling down in the gutters.
They
you know, because of what they did
with
this trade they got. And so they're gonna have to get the best of whatever in that garbage.
Harrison Barnes is out there.
You
and
know what?
Take Harrison Barnes.
Hell no. You know what you got to do? What is this going to be?
Tell us how you really feel.
Hell no. That is a fool. That's somebody else. I don't care what you get 3 years of $50 million.
Oh,
you can't turn down $27 million in a year. Bro,
that's
ain't nobody.
True. That's true.
Your next
that's
contract
true.
May not even be $27 million. If somebody gets Harrison Barnes 3 years of $30 million, they are smoking crack. But outside of that point, I think this Saturday, the Sunday the free agency begins, is going to be a referendum not only on LeBron James but on Anthony Davis, because how are some of these guys who maybe not be your tier A free agents, but like you said, Rob, 3-and-D kind of guys, can guard the wing, can shoot the three, may take a little less money. Will they take a little less money to come to L.A. and that California state tax to get hit over the head for a chance to play with AD and LeBron and feel like, hey, I can get me a title? And now in this year that we know that Golden State is going to be really weakened. So this coming week coming up when free agency starts is a referendum on both of those guys.
Yeah, that's 21 minutes, guys. We're making good progress here. This has been a very entertaining show, to say the least here. We're going to stay with the NBA free agency front here, and we're going to talk about Zion and the Pelicans. Will they have sustainable success? Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I may be talking like a true fan, but I'm going to say yes.
Of course you are.
I'm going to say with David Griffin in place, with Trajan Langdon in place and with Swin Cash, Gail Benson has put her money where her mouth is and putting the right pieces in place to have basketball people run the basketball organization. And I think that was one of Anthony Davis' gripes, is that we have football people running the basketball team. Well, Mickey Loomis was still overseeing the basketball operation with Dell Demps. But Now, Mickey Loomis is totally concentrating on the Saints. They've got David Griffin, Trajan Langdon, and Swin Cash totally concentrating on the Pelicans. And I think that's what the difference is going to be. Money will not be an object when it comes to Gail Benson. She's going to do everything she can to put a winning product on the floor. And I think Zion will see that. And they just have to – it's going to come down to player development. Obviously, you're getting guys, Lonzo Ball, Brandon. What's his last name, JQ?
Ingram.
Brandon Ingram, I'm sorry. Another dookie.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
another dookie. So, obviously, it's going to come down to player development.
Yeah, I'll do.
And obviously, the Pelicans got over $30-some million in cap space, too. So, what do they do with that cap space? Do they try to lure someone close to the max, or do they go out and get two more role players? Obviously, we need a big now. I mean, you can't expect Jackson Hayes to come in and be that guy right from day one. So you need a big. But as far as long term success, I think they will be able to have long term success because of the organizational structures in place.
See, listen, I think I've already talked about how I felt about Zion. But what I find to be hilarious, and I believe in these guys, is that when those guys were in L.A. and they had LeBron, it was, oh my God. They're not going to be enough to be able to help LeBron. They're not that good. Why, you know, their trade chips are not as good as the L.A. thinks they are. But when they go to New Orleans and you team them with Zion Williamson and not LeBron, everybody's high on the Pelicans, and I still think they're going to be a good team. But I just find the narrative to be really hilarious that they weren't good enough to be with LeBron and have sustained success. But they can go to New Orleans and get Zion, and oh, my goodness, yeah, them boys can play. They can play, right? Ooh, New Orleans won that trade. Yeah, sir. And it's like, okay, how can you have – both of those be the truth. I think the actual truth falls somewhere in between, where they may not be good enough for a LeBron James and what he's trying to do at his level right now. But when you get a young guy with Zion, you get all those young guys together, and you don't have that kind of veteran rookie young guy kind of gap that you have to bridge. But I think they can relate better to each other on and off the court, and make it have a better on court product because of that. So I'm not killing the guys from LA by no stretch of the imagination, but as an LA fan and hearing all the scuttlebutt about how they weren't good enough in L.A., and then see it almost be reversed and put on his head and saying, well, yeah, but it'll be great for Zion. They're going to ball out in New Orleans. It's like, well, yeah. Why was you killing them then but not killing them now?
Yeah, but the question here is sustainable success. Do I think this team as is right now is a playoff team next season? No. I mean, we're going to have to see what kind of moves that the Pelicans make here from a free agency standpoint. But I'm more so looking at long-term success. And who they can get to come and play with Zion based on organizational structure. But as the team is constructed right now, do I think they're a playoff team next season? As of right now, no, I do not. We would have to see what happens here once free agency and the end of free agency to see if they made that team better or more trades, if that's going to make their team better. And just keep in mind, we got an unprotected Cleveland Cavalier first-round pick next year, too. And so I think sustainable success long term is the question. I think they will be able to attain that with Zion.
I hear you.
Man, I just flashed on a stupid thought. That would be, you know, that would be just high drama if all of a sudden Edith Cantor is in New Orleans.
That won't happen.
Oh, boy. Oh, it looks like it will happen, but I don't think Portland's going to be able to keep him. I think somebody's going to offer him more money than what Portland can get him. I think that's what's going to happen. Although I would hope he would stay here and take less money. And our center, Nurkic, I think he's not going to be available. I don't think he's going to be available until the first of the year. He's probably not going to be able to be back until after the All-Star break.
I agree.
And totally healthy. So, you know, we're going to need Cantor, and we're going to need Collins to be more thick and more muscle. But some funny things I'm hearing on talk radio here on the West Coast. As dysfunctional as the L.A. Lakers have been for this whole basketball year. They got one of the biggest, you know, by getting Anthony Davis, they did do a super big job of getting one of the big free agents. Whereas the Clippers have done everything in the world to free up everything in anticipation of
Kawhi.
The guy in, Kawhi. And they may not get him. And they may not get nobody. And L.A., the Lakers get the big bad signing after being so dysfunctional. And the Clippers, who did everything.
Clippers.
Yeah, did everything right to land them somebody. And it's really looking like they won't. They won't.
The worst thing could happen is Toronto won that title. That's the worst thing that could happen is Toronto won the title.
Because I really think if they did not, he was going to be gone. But I think it's going to be hard. I know that's another topic we have coming up real soon here. It's going to be hard for Kawhi to leave Toronto after winning the championship. I think he finds it in his heart to stay there. And they have an exciting chance. You know, obviously, Golden State is down. Toronto will be one of the favorites to win it all again next year if they keep Kawhi. I mean, they'll be one of those teams along with Milwaukee, Philadelphia. We'll have to see what the Lakers are going to add around LeBron and AD to see if they're going to be a contender. We'll have to see what the Rockets are able to do. Yeah, and in Boston, where Boston is losing Kyrie and Al Horford, but we have to see what they're able to do in return to replace those pieces. But Toronto's right there in the mix again if Kawhi comes back. That's going to be hard to leave. I think he finds a way and he stays there.
He does one of those Kevin Durant deals. 2 years with a player option.
I can see that.
We got about 13 minutes of the show, fellas. So let's talk about the Knicks offseason. Is it will it be a failure if they only added R.J. Barnett? Go ahead, Rob.
Garrett.
I think it will be a failure, absolutely. If that's all they come away with. Now, R.J. Barrett is a nice piece. I think a player that's got a chance to be an all-star in this league. Obviously, a nice piece. He and Kevin Knox play the same position, but, you know, it is the NBA is more of a positionless game today. And Barrett can probably move down to the two, and Knox can probably play the three. But they need more pieces. And I think they will come away with some more free agents. I think they're going to be in the running for Julius Randle. I think they might be even running for DeMarcus Cousins as well. I think they're one of those top-tier guys. I think not. But I think they'll get maybe a solid player or two. I mean, Julius Randle at 22-9 this past season and really improved his game. A guy I really hope the Pelicans can keep. But I know the Knicks are going to be in that mix as well for Randle. And there may be some concern about Randle and Zion Williamson playing the same position. But I think it would be great if the Pelicans can, because like I said, it is a positionless game today. But I do think the Knicks are going to come out of this free agency period with someone. I just don't think it's going to be a Kevin Durant. I don't think it's going to be a Kawhi Leonard. I don't think it's going to be a Kyrie Irving. But they are going to sign a free agent or two. I think that will improve their team.
I'm going to tell you like this.
They're going to have to be smart with their money, though.
And
because they've
shown us not to be smart.
Yeah, I don't know if any of those guys would be worthy of the max. And so that's what the Knicks are going to have to be smart about.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you like this. I'm just going to go ahead and call it a failure because I don't think that Kyrie and KD are coming. I think the Knicks failed, and I think their offseason and all their hopes failed when the Pelicans reached up and snagged that number one pick and got Zion. I just really do. I think if Zion is going to New York and you still look like, oh, gosh, they still have James Dolan, he's an idiot. But all the players seem to love Coach Fizdale. So I don't know if Coach Fizdale can outweigh the hate that James Dolan gets for his ineptitude that he's shown as the owner of the Knicks. And I really think they're going to have a problem as long as he's the owner of the Knicks. I really, really do. Unless he sees Jesus and comes to light with, you know, comes to it with something different, what he's doing is just not working. So when they lost that first-round pick and then you see KD go down, so you lose him at least for this year and you don't get Zion, I mean, think about the shows that we had. We talked about, oh, my God, the Knicks and Nets are going to go right to the top of the league next year, getting Zion as bad as they've been playing and tanking for the number one pick. And they're talking about Kyrie and KD coming there. They're going to get all three of them. Woo! Now you're saying, okay, Zion's gone. And Kyrie and KD are talking about going to play for the Brooklyn Nets over going to the New York Knicks. Just let that roll around in your brain, because that's what those two guys are talking about. If that is not an indictment on what you have happening as an organization, I don't know what it is. The Nets have always been the little brother to the Knicks. I don't care if they was in New Jersey. I don't care if they was in Brooklyn. I don't care if they was in Scottsdale. They was always the little brother to the Knicks. And now you have them two of the top four or five free agents come out team together and go and play for the Brooklyn Nets over you playing in Madison Square Garden in the Mecca. Even the conversation about that is disrespectful to the Knicks. I'm just going to say that free agency is going to be a failure.
Yeah.
But the Nets got more pieces on their team right now to be successful. Jared Allen having a guy with a rim protector. They have more pieces. They got the singer LeVert on the team too, and they have more pieces on their roster to be successful right now. They have the role players in place to be successful and be a contender in the Eastern Conference. And it's not Madison Square Garden, but it's the Barclays Center right there in New York City in Brooklyn. And so, I mean, it's still got the lure. And like I said, they have the pieces and the role players around them to be a contender in the Eastern Conference right away. But obviously Kevin Durant is going to be out a year, so it wouldn't be this season.
Mm-hmm.
Probably be the year after.
Yeah. It's
they can still be a playoff team this year, absolutely.
It's still a pride thing if you're a New York Knicks fan and a follower of that organization that you're losing. They're potentially going to lose two of the biggest catches in free agency to the Brooklyn Nets. I hear what you're saying. They have quietly put together a nice little foundational pieces, and if they can get those one or two options on that team with their role players, I agree with you. They have good role players. But if you're a Knicks fan, and we talk about the history of the NBA, you're talking about the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Knicks really being your three flagship, you know, icon franchises in your league, and the Lakers are losing maybe to the Clippers in free agency, and the Knicks are losing to the Nets in free agency. I mean, what in the heck is going on in the NBA landscape? It's just topsy-turvy. That's my only thing about it. I'm not discrediting what the Nets have in terms of the pieces from 4 through 8. They really are solid. But losing out marquee free agents, if you're a Knicks fan, to the Nets has got to be a tough pill to swallow. That's my only point.
Spike Lee better turn in that blue and orange for that black and white.
Well, I mean, I just think that Nick thing is an indictment on James Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I mean, I've heard smart people say, chase good management. Don't go to bad management. Yeah, bad management can mess you up. And if the Knicks have bad management, why would you go in that situation? You know? And that might be another reason why. But it's not going to hurt the league at all for both New York City teams being interesting. It will not. And that whole Northeast area with interest in two New York teams and an interest in Boston team, the whole Northeast up there. This is how you get basketball fans. This is how you have that high dollar value ticket for you to come and have a show in the city.
You're right.
Yeah. And, you know, and if nothing else, the NBA is a winner show. It's a winner good ticket. And winter entertainment. I don't see that hurting anything, but James Dolan, from what I'm hearing, that's bad management. And if that's bad management, it's going to be hard to see anybody with any sense going and dealing with that.
you can't get over
I'll just
out.
Say.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You keep Charles Oakley out.
That was the whole thing. You just messed up the legacy. Hey, but they're still paying for the Knicks are still paying for Allen Houston's contract somewhere, somehow. But anyway,
that's crazy.
Just going here. And even Bobby Bonilla, the whole New York thing. But yeah, it is crazy as far as what's happening. The Knicks, And my last point, not that I'm piling on, sorry to my man out there, to Dwayne, huge Knicks fan. And it's crazy that Jeremy Lin has a ring over Carmelo Anthony. That's a little side note. That's just crazy.
That is such crazy.
It's just what just happened.
That meme was hilarious.
Yes, it was. That is a tough, right. Tough meme.
Oh, man.
Internet is undefeated, man. Isn't it? Hey,
yes, sir.
Let's kind of talk about a couple things here. Kawhi, KD, Kyrie, Clay, DeMarcus. There's a lot of different movie pieces where they're going to land the free agency. I don't know if you heard the rumor now. It's still a rumor that, Danny Ainge is trying to go all on Kemba Walker. So we'll see if, again, that even leads some fruit, man. But, again, that's what's going to happen. He realizes some addition by subtraction, possibly with Kyrie. But, yeah, we got about 4 minutes. If we can keep it brief, everyone, we'll get ready to the OT portion, and we'll wrap this thing up. So go ahead, JQ.
Well, I think we touched on it. I really think Kawhi goes back to Toronto. If he looks at that landscape, I just don't think the Clippers have enough for him to feel like I'm really going to contend in the Western Conference. I can stay in Toronto, and I'm going to have to deal with Giannis. I mean, it's not a cakewalk. We're going to have to deal with them and probably another year of Philadelphia, depending on what happens with Butler and Tobias Harris. But really your strongest competition is probably coming from Milwaukee. I can see him staying in Toronto. KD and Kyrie, and we touched on it. I smoked that fire. I think they are going to the Brooklyn Nets, which is crazy. I would never thought that, but I think that's the case. Clay, I think, goes back to Golden State. DeMarcus and Julius Randle, I honestly don't even have a pulse on it because I think they are such wild cards. They're going to sit back and let that first wave kind of go through. And then who's left with money with the ability to win titles or be able to have to contend with titles? And can I take a little less money and go there? Or do I take a whole lot less money to go there? Or do I say, oh, I'm going to go to a Phoenix Suns? Or say I'm going to go back here to New Orleans. And that's not a knock on New Orleans, but you said it as well, that they're not ready to contend this year. So those two, I really don't have my finger on the pulse of where I think they can go. I think it's really going to depend on how everything else shakes out on that top wave of free agency.
Yeah, and I agree. Kawhi Leonard definitely back to Toronto. I think that's almost beginning to be a 90% chance now that he goes and he stays back in Toronto. We already talked about Durant and Kyrie to the Nets. And Klay Thompson definitely going back to Golden State. And I'll be honest with you, I think Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris both stays in Philadelphia. I really do. Yeah. I know the Rockets are trying to do a sign and trade to acquire Jimmy Butler. But you got to be we got to remember, Philadelphia played Toronto tougher than any team in its playoffs. And they took them 7 games, and it took a Kawhi Leonard miracle shot for them to eliminate the 76ers. So they played that team tougher than anybody. And so the 76ers are close. I mean, Ben Simmons has got to shoot 1,001 jump shots a day, and he really needs to do that. And I mean, he has to improve that jump shot. And if he can find a jump shot, then the Sixers could be that team next season. Absolutely.
Hey,
I really think those guys are going to stay in Philadelphia. And I'm sorry, Andre, were we hitting the clock?
Yeah, we got right on.
All right. We'll go ahead and wrap this up, and I'll finish my comments on the OT portion. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another live edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We certainly appreciate you all. It's an NBA-heavy show. Obviously, free agency coming up. We just finished the NBA draft. We're going to be on the air next week live on Tuesday night. Once again, next week we're going to be on the air Tuesday night. It's going to be July 2nd, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends on the West Coast. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link tomorrow and the rest of this week. You get the rest of our NBA coverage. And we may even squeeze in a little football and baseball as well. But we still got a lot to talk about. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know you're enjoying the show. Let us know if you agree or disagree what we're saying on the show. Good night, people. Thank you all for tuning in once again.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you for tuning in and listening to the show. And let's go back and forth on our teams and what we think is going to happen in free agency. I just want to add one nugget from the NBA Awards show. I don't know who this guy is who they brought in from a show on Netflix, but this fool got up here and said two things that made me laugh for real out loud. He said that Kyle Korver was officially sponsored by U-Haul because he's been traded so many times. And he said, yeah, James Harden didn't show up for the awards show just like he don't show up in the postseason in the NBA playoffs. man, when he said that, I literally said, oh, ho, 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 ho. I can't believe he's just hitting that hard at the NBA Awards show. It was crazy. If you haven't seen it, go YouTube it. I promise you will still laugh. That dude went on about a 3-minute rant that was hilarious. Once again, let's thank y'all for listening to the show, and we'll holler at y'all next week.
Oh, good job, guys. I had myself on mute. Rob, go ahead and finish up. I know you have some last stuff to talk about here about the free agency and little things about where everyone is going. And, again, you just got that in, JQ. Good job, bro. I was like, whoa.
Hey.
Fit it in. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, like
go ahead,
so,
Rob.
We already talked about Kawhi, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. And Klay Thompson, definitely. I see him going back to Golden State, sitting out next year as well. But there's some other intriguing parts. Jimmy Butler. Tobias Harris, you know, Houston wants to get in the game with Jimmy Butler with a sign and trade. I just personally think that the Sixers are going to find a way to keep both of those guys. Like I said, they were the team that played Toronto tougher than any team in the playoffs, and Ben Simmons just has to shoot 1,001 jump shots a day this summer, every day. Every day. And he don't need to take a day off. And every single day, I don't care if he's on vacation, he needs to find a way to shoot 1,001 jump shots every single day. But I think that team could be close. So I think the Sixers find a way to keep both of those guys. Julius Randle and the DeMarcus Cousins are very intriguing. Obviously, before the Achilles injuries, the DeMarcus Cousins have a phenomenal year for the Pelicans. Still had a solid year when played this year for the Warriors. I think the Lakers, if they miss out on the top-tier guys, may get into conversations with DeMarcus Cousins. Also, the Boston Celtics, I think, may be interested in getting into conversation with with DeMarcus Cousins. I wouldn't even mind them coming back to the Pelicans, but I think the Lakers and the Celtics, two arch rivals, I think may be the favorites to land DeMarcus Cousins. So that's going to be really interesting. Julius Randle, another guy I would love for the Pelicans to be able to find a way to keep. But if he does not come back to the Pelicans, I think the Knicks might be that team that might be a favorite to land Julius Randle. So it's going to be really intriguing where some of these second-tier guys are going, like the DeMarcus Cousins, like the Julius Randle.
What about Kemba?
Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm.
That's another really intriguing conversation there. Charlotte has the opportunity to offer him the most. But I'm not sure if Charlotte is willing to offer him the max. You know, I think from Michael Jordan's perspective, you know, if we offering the guy the max that, you know, that can't lead us to the promised land. And so it's going to be – I think if Charlotte does not keep him, I think Boston could be the front runner for Kemba Walker.
And I've heard L.A., but I think Kemba's going to command too much money. I think Boston has a real live shot. Because of what you just talked about earlier with losing Kyrie Irving and Horford. And now they all of a sudden are looking at that money and saying, okay, we get to do the things himself with and we pair him with Tatum and Brown. And if Gordon Hayward bounced back, okay, we still have a really good team. And I know people are going to put us as an afterthought now, given what we've seen Milwaukee and Toronto doing everything you just talked about with Philadelphia, if they're able to sign at least one of those guys back. I think Philadelphia, we talked about the referendum on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I think this is also a referendum on Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Do Harris and Jimmy Butler think those guys can take the next steps? Like you said, is he going to be dedicated enough for us to worry about partnering with Kylie Jenner to be in the gym and taking 1,001 jump shots in the summer to make sure that he can come back and have a mid-range game where they just can't slouch off of him? You're 100% correct. So I think that as important as it is for L.A., it's just that important, I think, for the process there in Philadelphia. I think for DeMarcus Cousins, I think the problem with the Lakers is not that they won't be able to sign for the money given where he was with his injury, is the fact that when they had a chance of signing for that one-year, $5 million deal, when Golden State took a flyer and said, you can rehab on our dime and come back later in the year, the Lakers had that opportunity, and they passed on it. And DeMarcus Cousins, to me, appears to be a dude that just doesn't take that kind of stuff lightly. You know what I mean? That he's going to remember, like, oh, okay, really? I was trying to come here and play with LeBron for 1 year, $5 million. You said no, because you didn't want to wait 6 months for me to be ready to play. So I think they may have burned that bridge. I hope not. I like DeMarcus Cousins. I like the grit and the fire that he'll bring to a team. But does he look at it in the same vein I talk about D'Angelo Russell, right? Why would you want to do that? Does he feel the same way about the Lakers? So we'll see.
I'm going to tell you one sleeper team with DeMarcus Cousins, believe it or not, this may sound crazy. But I hear the Sacramento Kings may try to get back in bed with DeMarcus Cousins again. Willie Cauley Stein has made it clear that he doesn't want to be back in Sacramento. And and there may be some talk. You know, quiet as a cat, DeMarcus Cousins didn't really want to get traded from there. And so, you know, watch that as a sneaky surprise, too.
Mm.
Yeah, this is the good stuff that's going on in the NBA. It's the soap opera. And we're going to have some surprises come next Tuesday. We're going to talk about, wow, this happened and that happened. But for my money, because of Kylie Jenner and that, Ben Simmons is he's going to need Jimmy Butler because he's going to need to defer to Jimmy Butler at the end of games because he's not going to be able to make that jump shot. So Jimmy Butler has to stay there. But, yeah, these – what I'm not too hepped on is all the business dealings and all the way the money works in some of these things. So, but I did hear something about Minnesota being in running for Kemba Walker and being able to offer him the max up there at, in Minnesota. And, you know, Minnesota, they got some pieces. Yeah, but I don't think – well, that might fit. It might fit for him up there, especially with the max money. And then,
I don't know because they got Wiggins and Towns for a lot of money, so I don't know if they can really pay him like that. Because they gave Wiggins that crazy extension, and I'm pretty sure they gave Towns an extension as well. So you got two guys, two young guys, granted, but they're making a lot of money in Minnesota. And that's the problem we talked about with Charlotte. You've got Batum making crazy money. You made Marvin Williams has too much money. Cody Zeller has too much money. So why would you pay Kemba Walker that kind of money to have the same team that's going to finish 7 games under .500 and finish in the 10th slot and outside the playoffs? So I agree with you on that piece, Rob.
Watch Andrew Wiggins, too. I think privately the T-Wolves are trying to shop him.
Nobody wants that contract.
There it is. There it is.
T-Wolves are trying to shop him.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, you can try to shop all you want.
They try.
You know, going back and look at Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid was on the same college team in Kansas.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And Andrew Wiggins was drafted higher than Joel Embiid in the same draft.
That's crazy. That's crazy. All right, gentlemen. For the sake of the East Coast, I know it's pushing up on the hour of 1:12, so I know I want to get some last-minute stuff in. I do want to just throw the last couple topics here. If you want to ask anything about, I know there's a question about Danny Ainge making a mistake for trading for Kyrie Irving. You could add that. Lakers make the playoffs this season. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw, if you want to add that, I know we'll save the next one for Gary, you know. And a lot of love to him out there, too, for his mom and with throwing his prayers up there as well. But go ahead, gentlemen. Go ahead if you want to leave that. We're kind of wrapping this up, too. I want to make sure you have enough time, get rested, all that good stuff. So go ahead, Jake. You lead us off on that.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm not going to kill Danny Ainge for that. Because we talked about Kyrie and everybody still, and rightfully so, what he did for Cleveland in that Golden State series to get them that one ring. He's going for the fences, and he just so happened to miss and it didn't work out. And I think people are killing him about it because you see Toronto swing for the fences and win with Kawhi Leonard. You see OKC swing for the fences and not necessarily win, but give yourself a little bit more time to extend that window with Russell Westbrook by going for Paul George when you didn't have, you know, a lot of insurances that he would stay there. So as much as I hate Boston, of course I do, and Danny Ainge, because he was just such a prick on the court as a player for the Celtics, I can't fault him for swinging for the fences and saying I'm trying to maximize the value of what I have here and see if it works. It didn't work. Okay, you let him go. Maybe I'm more upset with him than what he has happened with Al Horford because Al Horford was a really good piece for them. But for the Kyrie piece, he swung for the fences and it just didn't work out. But talent-wise, we all talked about it coming into the season about how good we thought Boston could be. So I'm not going to kill him for that. The Raiders, I don't think the Raiders are there quite yet. I think, you know, they made some decent moves, but they still have some dysfunction. I'm not sold on Carr as a franchise quarterback quite yet. And even if you got like Josh Jake, what running back did they get? But I like they have Antonio Brown. Like they've got some pieces, but if you don't have from Alabama, it is Josh Jacobs. I'm sorry. So if you got those pieces, but if you don't have the trigger man to pull the, you know, on that team, then you're only going to go as far in this NFL as your quarterback is good. And I just don't think that Derek Carr is that guy quite yet. As far as Clayton Kershaw, that injury has just ruined him. That back injury has just ruined him. And unless he tries to change his game to put a little bit more finesse into it and put a change up or a slider into that rotation, because he's just not a power pitcher anymore. He got away on that with being a left-hander with some power. And now not having that power has compromised him a little bit. So it happens when you get pitchers that big money. They get injured, man, and they go downhill, and they go downhill quickly. So we know the name. We know what he's done in terms of the no-hitters and his pedigree, but still he hasn't been great in the postseason. And now with the injury, we just may see the decline of Clayton Kershaw. It's sad to see, but it happens.
I think Kyrie, there's some, you know, there's been some talk of him being a flake. And, you know, I know in my personal life, every time I deal with flaky people, my heart gets broke. Every single time I've dealt with flaky people, my heart gets broke. So if Kyrie is a flake, he's just going to break your heart. And that might have been – and I can truly attest to – I got to meet Danny Ainge when he was here in Portland, and I made a bad assumption.
Sorry to hear that.
I was driving a town car, and – I was supposed to pick him up and take him up to the airport. And I got the address, and I looked at the street and everything in the address book of where he was. And you know what they say about a Sioux? The address I saw was in Lake Oswego. And here in Portland, we call that Lake No Negro. But, I was assuming his butt was in Lake Oswego, which is the richest suburb in this area of Portland, Oregon. And I got the Lake No Negro, and gave Danny a call and told Danny, "Where are you?" And he's up in the West Hills in Portland, another really richy place, and another place where, if you got some money, that's where you'll be in the West Hills.
Wow.
I totally blew it. And the guy lost his cookies on me.
Oh.
He just was fit to be tied, and there was no compassion. There was nothing but, let me show how big of an a-hole I can be. But it was, you know, but it was my mess up. But I got the full wrath of the a-hole part of Danny Ainge. So I do know personally what happened.
Oh my God. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Wow.
Yeah, yes I did.
He's from that area too, right?
Yeah, he's from Eugene.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he played for the Blazers I'm pretty sure he played here a couple of years or something.
How are y'all having this conversation after he just said Lake No Negro? How are we really having this conversation after this? I can't with you today.
I can't.
Oh, hey, probably shouldn't have said that nationally, but yeah, that's what that's called here. Locally in this city.
Wow.
Oh,
that
man.
Getting back to these last two topics here.
I agree with JQ with the Danny Ainge thing, you know, trying to hit a home run with Kyrie Irving. And that's what you do in this business until you get it right. And Daryl Morey, you see him with the Houston Rockets,
yep.
You know, every year he's trying to hit a home run until he gets it right. And now he's trying to swing for Jimmy Butler. I'm not so sure that's the right chemistry, having him with James Harden and Chris Paul. But he's at least trying to see what he could possibly create.
Right.
You know, he's at least attempt. You have to do that until you get it right. Toronto took a big gamble, and it worked. OKC took a big gamble on Paul George. They were able to get him to sign, even though they hadn't been able to get out the first round yet. You have to keep swinging forward until you get it right, and that's what you have to do. So you can't blame. And plus, you know, Isaiah Thomas hasn't done nothing in the league. I mean, who he traded away for Kyrie Irving has done nothing in the NBA since he's been traded. Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he swung forward. Obviously, it hadn't worked from a championship perspective. But you can't blame Danny Ainge for missing on Kyrie Irving. And they might be better by addition with subtraction. Getting Terry Rozier back in there with his defensive presence. With those wing
Marcus
players.
Smart.
Marcus Smart. They might be better off. They just might be better off. But he's going to be tough in that East with Toronto, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia if they can stay constructed the way they are. It's going to be tough for Boston to surpass those teams. Yeah, I agree. We talked about this last week or the week before. Yeah, the Raiders are still the third best team in the AFC West, in my opinion, behind the Chargers and the Chiefs. So at best, they're the third best team. I don't see them being a playoff team. And Clayton Kershaw, just when you think he's done, he just keeps it going. I mean, obviously he had a rough outing on Monday night. We gave up four runs, the season high for him. He had 13 starts this year, and he's pitched at least six innings in all 13 of those starts prior to Monday night. So he just keeps getting smarter as a pitcher. Obviously he doesn't have the fastball any longer, but he just keeps getting by with his smarts. Like I said, he had a rough outing on Monday night for the Dodgers, but, hey, they still got the best record in the majors, and he's been a big part of that for that
Why do
team.
You?
And what can you say about my Yankees? We just hitting the long ball. Just knocking them out of the park. We got it rolling. Still in first place in the National. In the American League East. But we behind the Twins for the best record in the American League.
I tell you this. I've got Ryu and Kershaw on my fantasy baseball team. Ryu is always one where I look at the stats at the end of the night like, oh, my God. He's got like a 1.36 ERA or something stupid right now. He's the real reason behind that pitching staff. I know Clay Kershaw has all the pedigree, and he's been okay. He's been more serviceable. He's still he's a dinosaur in the fact that he's still going six innings now in this baseball where they go five and a third, and you go to bullpen by committee, and you just kind of bridge and work yourself to your closer, and that's how you do it. So you keep everybody's innings down, so you don't throw your arm out. But the days of him just where you fear going into a series and getting Clayton Kershaw. I don't think it's the same. I think it's Ryu that you look at and say, "Woof, man, that big Japanese, that big Korean dude is out there dealing the ball." So, I don't know. I think it's more of a passing of the torch, but Kershaw has the name. But I agree with you on the other point. So,
that LA's just got a really good team, and like I said, I think it was last week or the week before last. I expect LA to be back in the World Series. I really do, and I'm glad that I get a chance to go down and see some of their games down there. And they are one of the teams that are going to extend that
netting, the foul netting.
Fence. Yeah, the netting out close to the center field. I'm glad to see that in the major leagues. I mean, we're seeing especially when a baby got hit, those nets should have went up right away after that. But I'm glad to see that in the major leagues. And I
agree.
LA's just, and they're young. They got their young prospects playing good in LA. But
yep.
I mean, still, it's not the All-Star break yet. So I don't really get. I wait until after the All-Star break to see where these teams are going to break and how bad they're going to break and whatever. Seattle up here gave up the farm. Yeah, they gave up the farm. They
waved the white flag.
Yeah, they just let it all go up here. So, for us baseball fans in the Northwest,
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, like I said, it's been fun. I know if there's anything else you want to talk about, go into that. But at this juncture, let's go ahead and wrap up this fun-packed, action-packed talking sports from the 12th Man Show.
I want to say a couple of things if you guys didn't see. Cam Newton coming back home from Paris, France, offered somebody $1,500 and the person didn't take it for their seat. But you know the reason why he was even in that predicament, Cam Newton missed his original plane. That's the reason why he was in that predicament. And then the other thing I saw that kind of tickled me.
Yeah, that's it with the commoners.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
The Paris Olympics is you're going to get a gold medal for breakdancing.
Yes.
Breakdancing is going to be a competition at the Paris Olympics.
You're going to be getting a medal. And I'm trying to figure out.
That was a heck of a break dance. I need to sign up.
Well,
oh, my God, you boys stop.
You know what I think is that's going to turn into? I think that's going to turn into who has the best cut. Who has the best cut out there and spinning on their head, to the best cut. That's the gold medal. So whoever has the best cut out there, I think that's going to be your gold medalist. One of those songs that get everybody up and trying to break out.
Oh, my gosh. Curtis, you are a mess.
Wow. Well, again, I appreciate you guys keeping this going. I'm always scared about the lady coming in and kind of cutting us off, too. So if y'all want to, again, try to see your last moments. All right. Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And yes, I got to get my skills back in order for my breakdancer skills and get ready for the 2024 Olympics in Paris. See your boy representing Talking Sports with the 12th Man and the U.S. of A winning the gold medal. Yeah, I got to get back with it. I used to do it in the middle of the streets, in the mean streets of New Orleans back in the day. But I can revive those skills. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in again, yet again, another edition of Talking Sports the 12th Man. We're going to be back on the air live again on Tuesday night, July 2nd. It's Tuesday night of next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Obviously, we'll be in the heart of the NBA free agency period, so we'll be getting closer to the NFL training camps. We have a lot to talk about. We're getting closer to the All-Star break. JQ is the master of that. He makes it every year. Big baller, shot caller.
Not this year.
So
thank you all again. We'll have a lot to cover on the show on Tuesday night. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
I'm like Joakim Noah. So do any of y'all families take on vacation in Cleveland? No. I'm not going to Cleveland for the All-Star break, bro. No. You guys have
Cleveland?
All the fun in the world you can with that. I'm
That's
not
your home state, man.
Goodness. Man, I am not going to Cleveland. No piece of my body or my wallet wants to go to Cleveland in July for the All-Star game. Nothing.
Hey, you mean tell me you don't want to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, nope. I went to Wrigley Field
and the Football
Fair,
Hall of Fame?
That. I can
and
do
the Football
that
Hall of Fame is in Canton?
Yeah, Canton, Ohio.
I'm from Ohio.
You don't
want to
go to the Mistake by the Lake?
I do not want to go to the Mistake by the Lake.
You've never been on the Cleveland Flats?
I don't have – listen, yeah. I hate the Browns. I hate the Browns, okay? I don't want no part of
Cleveland. You can have some fun in Cleveland. You go down on those Flats, they be fighting
like
down
this.
On the Flats.
I ain't going to have no fun in Cleveland this summer because I ain't going. So,
you'll eat at Jay Alexander.
And get kicked out. But I digress. No, I'm not going to Cleveland. And Cam Newton, you cannot miss your flight. You do realize that the Women's World Cup is going on in Paris. You can't miss your flight, bro. He had all that happen to him out there wearing the man romper. That's just ignorant. But, yeah, no, I'm not going to make Cleveland this summer. Next year it's in L.A. You can catch me next year in L.A. But, yeah, I don't want to do the Cleveland-Detroit combo to go see those stadiums. Nope, two cities I don't have to go to. I don't have to go to Pittsburgh. So if I see all the stadiums except for those three, I will still be okay with my life.
Wow. All right. I'm always here for Lady cutting us off, guys.
So again, I'll say this just to make sure we appreciate everyone. I can't wait for next week, man, because again, it never stops. We'll keep it going. So again, I'm still laughing about Curtis, man.
Man,
I'm going to be pulling for Rob in the Olympics. At 24, Rob, boy, loosen that neck up.
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't.
Loosen them joints up, bro.
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
I've seen some of them dudes. One time I saw on that Can You Dance, these two kids come out from the stage, sliding out on the center stage on their head. They were on the top of their head, sliding out to the stage. Now what happened on that series of Can You Dance? Them two kids had a warrant out for their arrest in San Francisco. And they looked like they were outstanding, but they were taken off to jail right after the show was over.
Wow.
Yeah, boy, if you can do that, if you can slide 60 feet on your head, you might have a shot.
There it is, man. Curtis Minute. We're going to need the Curtis Minute over here, man. Let him kind of like go off, man, because I don't know where it's going. All right, gentlemen. Seriously.
I love it.
It's been fantastic. Hey, you guys have a great week. Please be safe. Curtis, you're hilarious, bro. But again, guys, we'll keep those texts coming. We'll text you out throughout the week. And have a fantastic, fantastic evening, morning, all that good stuff. Good night, people.
Yeah.
Good night,
guys. Gary. Much love.
Break dancing forward coming your way.
There it is.
Oh my God. Bye.
See you later.